What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on into the Brass Ring Media Podcast, our flagship show for Thursday, April 18th, 2024. I'm Zach Haydorn. That's Tyler Sage. Tyler, welcome. What's going on?
Hey. Not much. I see your hat. I don't know what that is. I know you've worn it in the past.
It's an Orioles hat.
Okay. Are you giving up on your White Sox? As I look up their record, I know they were 2-15. I was hoping they would lose and be they're 3-15. So let's hope for a loss coming up here. They were 2-15. So let's get a loss. Let's get those White Sox at 3-16.
3-16, yeah. Man, that'd be perfect.
And Austin Knight at whatever that Comiskey Park is called now.
Season over. Just like leave it at that. Yeah, no, yeah. It's not necessarily an abandonment of the White Sox. It's just kind of that because they're not even a real baseball team. So I figure I've liked the Orioles.
They're AAA team.
Yeah, yeah, they're AAA team, you know, but it, you know, like, I prefer my Major League Baseball teams to not be a AAA team. That's generally how I look at this. So, you know, it's a close second, Orioles. Mm-hmm. Hence the hat, and there we go.
Cool. Well, you know, to end the baseball talk, that's the issue with baseball, is that half the teams don't seem to care, and there's like 15 that do care. Dude, in a blatant way, right? Yeah. I was in the Bronx last week, so I got to see a Yankees game for the first time. So that was very fun. Not that I'm a Yankees fan by any stretch of the imagination, but it was cool to be there. And they lost.
But they care. They care.
About their team. I mean, like, it was like 40 degrees, and it was a Wednesday night, and literally they had like 45,000 people in that building. I could not believe it.
See, that's insane. I mean, like, that's how it should be in a major market like that. So,
yeah.
Oh, man, I could rant about the White Sox for a long time. Nobody wants to hear that, though. For sure. Luckily, we got a pay-per-view to preview today. It is pay-per-view preview day here on the flagship show. And it's AEW Dynasty, which is coming up this Sunday night from St. Louis. Tyler's going to be in the house. It's going to be cool to get an on-site report there and other odds and ends coverage throughout the weekend. So make sure you are subscribed right here to our YouTube channel. And elsewhere, because you're not going to want to miss those in-person updates. So if you're not subscribed on YouTube, hit the subscription button right now. Not the subscription button, man. Hit subscribe and hit the notification button so that you know when we've updated something. We'll be busy this weekend for sure. While we're at it, we'll just take care of the rest of the propers here. You can become a Brass Ring Media member by heading over to patreon.com. It's only $4. Got some really great stuff happening over there for all of our members. A member-only podcast once a week, PLE pay-per-view review shows where applicable, including this weekend for Dynasty after the fact. Access to our full Substack newsletter, our daily newsletter, written content. So as a member, you get full access to all of that free stuff and specialty paid content. And then also access to our Discord community. And lots of other odds and ends. So it's $4. We hope you guys support us. We do appreciate it. So definitely jump over there to do that. It's patreon.com/brassringmedia. Talked about the free platform here on YouTube. You can subscribe for free to Substack, our daily newsletter with show reviews and features and other types of written content. There is free content there too. So you can head over there right now to search Brass Ring Media Substack and we will come up. As far as today goes, welcome to everybody who's listening to us live. I do appreciate it here on YouTube and on Twitter. Good to see everybody. Zach, hello. Azan, hello. We are open for super chats, and we would appreciate them. They certainly help us out a lot. Any contribution helps, keeps us doing this, you know, day in, day out, week in, week out. And any contribution level helps, and we certainly appreciate it. And thank you guys all in advance. If you're listening to this live and you're like, oh man, I'd like to hear this, but I can't always watch on YouTube, all of these shows are available as podcasts, where you get your favorite podcasts. We're there, including on Apple Podcasts. Finally, we are there and set up. Support team at Apple, support team finally came through and got that done for us. So head on over to Apple Podcasts and subscribe and get all of our live shows here as podcasts. Cool.
Cool.
Well, let's talk about this pay-per-view, man. It's Sunday. Before we kind of go through the matches, and we'll go through the matches and we'll give our, you know, preview analysis on each one, predictions, of course. But like, it's high level going in. Like, how do you think pay-per-view has come together from a match standpoint? And how do you grade kind of the final go home hype on last night's episode of Dynamite?
Yeah. I mean, without the hype, it's got to be one of the strongest cards AEW's ever put together, right? Just from the company's history of like star power on a show, you know, hype wise, it's not that, right? Which is like a bad through line that is a consistent thing with AEW, right? So I think the show itself is going to be incredible, but going into it, I do think there's probably a lot of people on the fence of like, you know, I think the two matches that put it over the edge for almost anyone that at least is an AEW fan, Danielson and Ospreay, and then the main event, right? So I think they'll get pretty solid, consistent numbers. I don't know if they'll grow much, but you know, I liked last night's episode in comparison, but you know, you can only go up from the week prior. So that's fine. I still don't love that there's like no interaction between Ospreay and Danielson whatsoever. It's all like tertiary stuff for your main event there. So that's, maybe that'll lead to something bigger than the line where you can hype it more. And this is just like, hey, we got to have a, you know, a pillar of a match here on the card. But yeah, so I'd say it's pretty standard for AEW. Build is okay to subpar, and then the card quality and the match quality and probably the live event itself is going to be off the charts. You know, a pretty thumbs up, I would say. Would be shocked if it's not.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I think this is a heck of a card when you look at it on paper. It's a long card, but that's to be expected. But yeah, I mean, they got just stars up and down this thing for sure. And the matches, as always, will pretty much deliver. And, you know, as far as the hype and the build, I'm right there with you. Like, I think that there's been some good stuff. There's been some bad stuff. And last night on Dynamite, I thought was an overall was, you know, a good final like stamp of like, okay, let's go and let's do this pay-per-view now. I thought that show was better than I expected it to be kind of coming out of last week, especially, you know, they kind of abandoned the whole like punk footage thing as far as like a narrative as for like the FTR Young Bucks match. I think that was smart. It was a stunt to begin with. And I think them not commenting on it this week proves that out. But overall though, I thought that they hit the notes, like nothing really was left in the dark. And I thought that was what I was kind of looking for. Like, are they going to be able to hit some of these matches and put kind of like, or at least try to put exclamation points on some of them? And I think overall, you know, they did that, or they at least attempted to do it. And I think that's a step in the right direction. Let's go through the show match by match here and analyze this thing. Let's start with the main event for sure. Because I think this is one of the biggest matches that, biggest world title matches that AEW's put on, not in terms of like, all right, it's Kenny Omega and it's Hangman Page's end of the story, but like they've given this, you know, this has had like a few months build to it. When you really kind of look back to, you know, the journey of Swerve back in November through the new year, Revolution with the triple threat match, and now here at Dynasty, like it's been a long, kind of a long journey for Swerve, and now he's got that singles opportunity with Samoa Joe for the world title. Presuming this is going to be the main event, I also think this match, from a build perspective, is like, and this may be like an indictment on other AEW world title matches, but then more it is praise for this one. But this has gotten attention, like in the top spot on the show, like for the most part. For all of these Dynamites, like generally speaking, it opened the show a few times, it's closed the show a few times. This week it had, you know, two backstage interviews and then like a final kind of face-to-face brawl encounter. So they've given this attention, and I think that, you know, both Joe and Swerve have come across good in this feud. I've liked what they've done here. I've liked this feud quite a bit. I think it's one of the best world title feuds that they've done. And you know, I just think that they have it in a good spot going into the pay-per-view. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it's the old, they want some history lesson, the old 1992 Bill Clinton campaign where they had tried a lot of things and then it was, you know, keep it simple, stupid was kind of the mm-hmm. mantra of the campaign managers there. And that's what this like build has been, right? You just like what you just laid out, right? Like everything MJF as world champion and leading up to it happened at 8:30, 8:45, 9 o'clock, like that segment, right? So you opened and closed with stuff that was not about the main belt, right? You're trying to get content for both hours, right? Instead of just having him do something twice. Kenny Omega, I mean, same thing. Maybe when he's champion, you know, Hangman, like I'm trying to think even when they're, if they were on TV consistently even as champion, which they weren't, which is, you know, right. So this is a opening, closing the show. That's the most important thing by far. Everything I have to say about negative, the build of Ospreay and Danielson from a like storytelling perspective of what's happening on the television screen is the opposite here for this. And, you know, like you said, laid out even before the match with Paige, the death match, the second Swerve Strickland was interacting with, with MJF and Switchblade, right? Mm-hmm. There was like a three-way conversation happening there. Ever since that moment, that's like when the story has started of Swerve in the main event scene. And culminating here, it feeling like a real build, a real feud, right? Like it's a little paid by numbers, but for AEW, that's like revolutionary to do like a modern wrestling feud here and have both guys look strong and both guys be cheerable if you want to, but one's obviously the heel and one's obviously the one you're supposed to cheer for. Like all that is like in a vacuum is like, well, yeah, that's what you do in pro wrestling. This should be like a standard, happen 8 times a year in AEW, but it's happened this time. Is this like the first traditional build start to finish that we've seen that's worked for the world title scene? I mean, it's usually always been bad. And like, I haven't looked up odds, so and then I'll finish here. Because I actually don't think it's like a slam dunk 1,000% likelihood who's going to win this like every other AEW title match I've ever seen. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is. And I think when you compare this to some other feuds, like for the world title, it's just so much quirkiness all around it. Like Jay White and MJF, like just kind of just totally like backwards. And as soon as Joe became champion, like a lot of that kind of righted itself and they had a challenger ready to go. Sometimes that helps. I mean, we've talked about it on this show a long time, just defining who your guys are. And, you know, we recommended like 6 to 8 for Tony Khan, but he picked 2 for sure. For the last few months, I mean, Joe and Swerve are like top guys, you know, like for sure. And they've been treated as such and they're in the main event and they're for the world title. And like, that is like 40% of the battle, like just getting that established. And Tony Khan's done that here. And Swerve and Joe both have delivered. As far as a finish, I think you can convince yourself that Joe could hold on to the title because of what's going on with Will Ospreay. I certainly did for a while, thinking like, all right, well, you know, they're just going to go with Ospreay. Maybe that's it, just go that way. And I still think that's probably the right move. But I'm coming along to your thinking here based on what we saw this week of just, hey, you know what? Like, there's nothing wrong with like somebody holding the belt for what would be, you know, another 4.5 months if Swerve Strickland wins this and then drops it to Ospreay at All In, let's say. Mm-hmm. I think that's where they go at this point. I think that's where they go. I think they set up, you know, a Swerve Strickland title win here. I don't think you can really, I mean, man, you really can't have him come up short again if you want to him to continue on, you know, as a top guy for you. I mean, that'd be like, you know, 2 straight title losses. You don't really have any claim to like a rematch like you did after the triple threat. It's hard. It'd be a tough putt to sink with him. So I think like the most obvious thing to do is just put the title on him, get him some opponents over the summer, and, you know, you keep him and Ospreay on the periphery of one another until August. And then, bam, you've hopefully have a huge you know, mega main event for your Wembley Stadium show. That is what my guess is in the cards at this point in time. Plus, you know, Ospreay and Swerve is exactly the kind of match that Tony Khan would love and that he'd want to put on and that the AEW fan base would, you know, would eat up. So that match is one of the bigger matches you can do. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take Swerve here. I'm going to say he wins the title you know, kind of goes on a bit of a summer run.
Yeah, I would agree. So I'm going to pick him as well, as it sounds like you are. So I'll write you down. I'm actually writing down our predictions here so we can keep track of it for the post show. Nice. Yeah, I think it's good to normalize, like, not every run has to be this 9-month thing that, you know, for especially as you have more pay-per-views, like, okay, the first two or three opponents have no chance, right? So this is kind of a waste of time. To normalize a couple runs here that are not epic, long, you know, storybook runs for everybody, I think it's fine when you have one world title, right? If you have two, you can do a different thing where one maybe is more open and one is a longer run. But, you know, if Joe loses, he has a top three world title run in the company's history, and it was only 4 months, right? So it doesn't matter how long he held it. You know, maybe number one. I don't know. I have to go through the runs here of pretty good start to finish. I don't think there's really any bad moment of Joe's run here as champion. And I think everyone else has probably at least one. Maybe that first Moxley run would be up there with
Mike. Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
But, yeah. I mean, I think that's – and then, you know, you see where you are in when you get there, right? Like planning out all these long stories at the top. Like, okay, I want Kenny, then I want Hangman no matter what. Like sometimes no matter what doesn't work, right? So you got to see, like, maybe Ospreay's hurt. Hopefully he's not. But – or maybe Swerve is so hot that you got to put a heel against him. And then – or you tell a story that goes from all in to all out, right? You have 1 week apart. Maybe you have – something happens and then you get to the finish of that story a week later, whatever, right? You can be a little creative with that sort of booking, which has never been done correctly. You know, you can't simply do the night one, night two thing because it's two different locations in a week apart, right? So, yeah, so that's where I am. I think Swerve wins. I think it's Swerve's house in front of, you know, 6,500 fans in St. Louis.
Yeah, I think it seems to be pointing that way. Zach hit us up in the super chat here and says, Swerve's time, and it's his title to lose at this point. Whose house? Swerve's house. Well, we clearly agree, Zach. I think you're in the right spot on that. Yeah.
Yeah, and one point on that from last night that makes me even more bullish on that is, like, bringing up the storyline, right, of him being a guy who chokes in the main event, right? You cannot have him lose then.
Yeah,
so, you know, that just, like – we'll sit in stone of, like, I think it's pretty likely it's Swerve, but, you know, he's not a made guy at this point yet, even though it seems like he is by AEW. So that's my only holdback and why I think it'll be exciting to watch it, to be like that moment happening and it'll feel like an organic, exciting thing as opposed to a coronation like every other title run has been up to this point.
Do you think that Swerve has lost momentum since November or gained momentum since November, or is just flat?
I'd say he's flat to slightly down, but that's more of like an AEW is as well in that same boat.
Yeah,
I think him and AEW, like, you know, AEW is more down from like a brand overness standpoint, but yeah, I mean, I think him and Paige work really well together, and he is getting his character, you know, more and more every week, like being a main event cable television character. You know, Joe is a guy who's done that in many companies, TNA, WWE before NXT.
Yeah.
Swerve is like on the fast track and he's doing a great job, doing a better job than Hangman did, than Kenny did, than MJF did in spots, right? So I think,
oh yeah,
you know, that's, if I'm Tony Khan, that's a good reason to continue this track. But, you know, he still excels in getting himself over in his matches, right? More than anything. And like the thing with the blood, like that, like brought him back, I think, to the level, like signing the, like, not that you wish that was this week, but that felt a little early if I was going to, like, critique something I really liked, which was that segment, that whole segment. You could have done that here if you did it, and, like, you have a guy who got beat down in Swerve but was resilient and, like, signed it with his own blood and said, I'm coming to get you. Like, that would almost be better to happen last night. You'd really be like, man, this is awesome. I really want him to win, as opposed to it happening 2 weeks ago. So I think that's more of a storytelling beat, but that moment right there, I think, was on par with me as a fan of him and Paige after that match at Full Gear.
Yeah, Full Gear. Yeah, and I look at like the crowd response too, you know, and with Joe's a pretty cool champion, you know. I mean, he's a pretty like cool champion. You're gonna get, I'm sure, on Sunday when you're in the building, you're gonna get like the Joe chance for his when he does his entrance. But like for the angle last night and for like the fight and the brawl and all that, it was Swerve. Like it was all Swerve. Like people were, you know, almost universally behind Swerve. And I think that's a good sign, especially when, you know, like I said, Joe is not like this like uber heel right now. I mean, he's just not. And so I think it's a good sign when you see that and you're Swerve and you're like, okay, like we've got something here. And I think hopefully Tony Khan heard that too and feeds it, you know. And I just don't know, like, it's not that Joe's been a bad champion. I just don't know, like, you know, what's next? Like, what do you do next with him here? Like, is there an argument to keep the title on him? Yes, because I think he kind of gives the company like a nice little foundation. But, you know, there's not any, I mean, you could do like Moxley versus Joe, I guess. And you can do Ospreay versus Joe. So I guess there is places you can go, but it does feel like it is Swerve time, as Zach said here. Thank you, Zach.
Yeah. I think Joe can be almost as potent now as a former champion, right? Not as a gatekeeper, a guy who wins 85% of his matches still coming out of this, but you know, you can do a, like him and I, like what you just laid out there can be that co-main event of a pay-per-view. Right. And keep, like, think of how Cody was booked, right? Go like the whole last year, you know, is Samoa Joe Brock Lesnar? I mean, kind of, right? Is he what you can make? What are some other big Cody matches last year that were leading to? I mean, that was the best, like the biggest singles match.
Okay, I mean, they did that little Shinsuke.
Yeah, but that's like, you know, like what are the main? Because everything else is kind of like gimmicky matches, right? Like from War Games or the Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think. I guess that's his biggest feud to keep him hot throughout, right?
Yeah.
So that's like something for Ospreay to do. Joe can take out people on a biweekly basis on TV, and you can do the same story you did with Dustin Rhodes, and it can make more sense too. Of like, hey, there's the story, and this is why I want to win. I want to climb the ladder, be where Joe was late in his career, all that stuff, right? So I think there's a lot of opportunity for Joe to be as valuable as he is currently, without the title, now that he's got that clout. And one of, you know, if you look at the roster right now, how many former champions are walking around, former world champions are walking around AEW on a consistent basis? Jericho? Because Moxley's back.
Mox, yeah, but like Hangman's gone, Punk's gone, Kenny's gone.
MJF's gone. So you don't have a lot of former champions walking around having matches, right, that are, you know, and Jericho is what he is, right? He's on a different level of his career than Joe is, right? So it's just like, that's a big deal, especially with how little many of those guys are walking around.
Yeah, well said. All right, well, we both got Swerve there. We'll see what happens. Zach, thanks so much for the super chat. Let's hit some of these undercard matches here. We've got Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly for the AEW International Championship. This is kind of what I alluded to at the top of the show here, of like, they didn't do a ton to like further this match, but they did something. They aired a little video package. They like reminded you that it was happening, at least, like bare minimum stuff. This is a mid-card feud. It's a mid-card title. Mm-hmm. It's barely even a title at this point. I mean, what do you say? I mean, like, it's just crazy that just a few months ago, 6 months ago, Roderick Strong is a part of this like Wild Devil story, and now he's wrestling Kyle O'Reilly with really no hype or intrigue or anything behind it. I mean, it's fine for what it is. This certainly doesn't need to be on the pay-per-view, but I'll take Roderick Strong to retain.
I'm going to use some real life stuff here. I think we're going to add Sean and Azan on this undercard, maybe. I know Azan. No, just kidding. I don't know if you'll be at the show, Azan, but if you are, say hi. I'm going to take some real life information here to make my opinion, because I think you're right from like a booking perspective. But I don't know if you saw the Adam Cole news.
Oh, like, no.
Update. So I think it was SRS updated that he's like nowhere near ready to return to the ring.
Dude.
Which makes more sense with the Punk revelations, right? Like Cole is probably like at his family doctor who's like never seen an ankle injury is like, I don't know, man, just rest it. And it needs like surgery. Like he'll, well, I wouldn't be shocked if like there's no like protocol, right? And he was supposed to get surgery like 6 months ago. And he's like, oh, I guess I should get surgery now, you know? Or if he hates AEW secretly and is just like, I'm going to ride out this contract and go back to WWE because now Hunter's in control. And Hunter loves me more than anybody. It will make me a huge star.
Yeah. Which
is probably what's happening. If you ask me.
Real quick here. So there was an update on that. Tony Khan in the media scrum today said or addressed that issue and didn't have a good answer. Like, did not have a good answer. He was basically like, I don't know if we did or not. I assume we did because normally we do pay for that kind of thing. But if we didn't, I'll reimburse him. It's like, dude, like, first of all, it's a media call. Probably you want to be ready for like for that question that you essentially like know is coming, but you can say that about a lot. So yeah, not a real good answer. But I mean, but yeah, telling though, man, about Adam Cole. I mean, God, that guy. I mean, that injury happened in September, you know. So it's more than 6 months ago now.
Yeah, I mean, is it going to be a year for an ankle injury? Like,
I don't know. I don't know. That
there's, I mean, from an eight from a typical person, I don't know what the correct term, like you don't say normal in the medical field, I know that, but the 90th percentile of that injury, like no ankle injury should take really more than 9 months, even with like a surgery and ligament surgery, unless you're like dealing with totally, I don't know, but yeah, and that's what it seems like. We're on 9 to a year, and that's why it tells me there. So I'm sorry to tangent here on this. All these reasons I'm going with Kyle O'Reilly because I think the Undisputed faction is dead in the water, and getting this off Roddy telling a story with Kyle O'Reilly might be more intriguing for Tony Khan. So based on all that stuff, I'm gonna go with Kyle O'Reilly, who I know is a friend of Cole as well, but as a baby face, I guess you can, you know, he's gotten a lot of backstage screen time, so maybe him doing an open challenge, as is what a baby face does when they win a mid-card title in AEW, will be the way to go.
All right, so we differ on that one. We differ on that one. Let me jump back in, and we got some super chats on the Swerve Strickland match that I want to hit, and then we'll continue on our preview here. Matt jumping in here, thank you, Matt. It says Strickland wins, but man, I love this run from this Joe run. Yeah, that's what we just kind of mentioned. Is like good run, probably Strickland's time. I think, Matt, you're articulating that great in two very concise sentences. Like, I think that's exactly where Tony Khan's at too. That's my guess. Karthik jumping in here saying Swerve's written badly. The theme of the Hangman story was obsession, but character development was driven by fan reaction. He's now being beaten down despite attacking Joe and presented as an underdog. See, Karthik, I would disagree with the underdog classification when it comes to Swerve. I think it's, I mean, Joe, you got to present Joe as like, you know, a badass champion. So, you know, I don't think that means that just because Swerve's out there selling an attack from Joe, I don't think that means he's an underdog to Joe. It just means Joe's beating him up, you know, and is like, exerting, you know, his dominance and being a strong champion. So I did, you know, I guess there's a little bit of it there when you talk like, oh, I choke on the main events. I guess there's like maybe a little bit of underdog there, but I would not classify this story as underdog just because you've seen like Swerve like bloody Joe and you've seen, you know, him like beat him up, you know, throughout the show 2 weeks ago. So I mean, he's definitely had his moment of like laying it on Joe. So I get what you mean, Karthik, but I disagree. Let's see how the match itself plays out too and what kind of psychology they use there.
Yeah, and I would say just like we talked at the top of the show, it's a traditional storyline, you know, for a first time babyface champion to emerge, right? It's like, I've never done this, but I'm gonna do it, you know, not thanks to you fans. He didn't go full Cody 80s wrestler on that. Yeah, I mean, even the way it's laid out without the promos of Swerve being the one laying down at on the go-home show is the traditional way to get the babyface over. And then, yeah, if Swerve's going for a second title 2 years from now, and he can say, I've done this before, then if he did the same story, I think it would be a poor use of his character.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I think about it, like, Karthik, I mean, like, even guys like, you know, Steve Austin, you know, they took beatings as babyfaces, and they're not underdogs. Undertaker, same thing. As a babyface, was beaten up, not underdog. So I think it's just part of the equation here. But thank you so much for the comment, and appreciate you joining the show, man. Hopefully you continue watching and come on back. Matt, of course, MJF is mid. You know, this message becomes more and more kind of a realistic opinion to have as time goes on here. Matt, I still am not with you. I think he's a big star, but we'll see. But thank you. All right, let's get back to our preview here. Bullet Club Gold versus the Acclaimed for the AEW World Trios Championships and the ROH six-man tag team titles. I mean, holy moly. Can't believe we're going to get a unification match here. What do you think? How do you think of this, and where are you at on this?
Gives me so much hope for the future of AEW to blend some belts. Also, it can give me a lot of hope if Jay White can obliterate Billy Gunn, like, dude, absolutely destroy him and, like, make him not be on screen for 6 months. I think would make sense if you're Billy Gunn as a story. Like, you were strong, but this up and coming should be a main eventer. Put you on the shelf for 6 months, and the Acclaim can take a break. They can come back and be a fun thing when they do come back. Like, that should be this match. Like, this should be 3 times more violent than you think it's going to be. And they should, like, this should be the match on the card that has tables, has blood everywhere, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I don't think it will be that, but that's what I'm hoping for. I think it's going to be like a sneaky, awesome match if it's booked correctly. And Jay White looks really strong, but we'll see.
I mean, it can be. It definitely can be. I think Hazan, this is the most 0 hour match ever. It could also be that.
They'll add that on Collision as Rampage is ending on Saturday. Like, you know, I don't even know who, but it'll be, you know, Sky Blue and somebody for sure. That's a guarantee.
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, like, look, like, I like this because you're going to get rid of a set of Trios titles, hopefully. I've hated this feud, though. I mean, I just like, ever since they were together as, like, the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, and you knew they were going to break up in, like, a couple weeks' time, to now fast forward and they've broken up, and you've got Billy Gunn, like, scaring away Jay White and, like, beating up Jay White in matches. It's like, what the heck are we doing here? So I'm worried about this. Like, I just because it's gone so badly from a build perspective that I don't trust that, like, they're going to take this the right direction. You've laid out a perfect scenario in which this could be entertaining. Gun Club, Bullet Club Gold, whoever, whatever they're called these days. Like, they go over strong, they're ruthless, they're vicious, they're dangerous. They walk out of this match more bigger heels than they were walking in. I think you get somewhere if you book it like that. But if this is just like a la-di-da, like, kind of spot fest trios match, like we've seen, both these teams end in the same exact place, and, you know, the titles already don't mean anything. So, like, I think you have a chance here to do something. And I hope they take it. I hope they take it. And I hope that is the elevation of Jay White. And Bullet Club Gold. I mean, them too. I'm going to take Bullet Club Gold just because I got to hold out hope that they do the right thing. Acclaimed has run its course. You know, it just has. And so I think that Jay White and his faction, whatever he's doing, is significantly more important than Acclaimed right now. So they're getting the nod for me.
Yeah, easily worst feud of the year in awards.
Yes. Season. Oh, my God.
It's going to be hard to beat it because it's been, you know, we're 4 months of this already. And yeah, this is the Doctor Strange moment of, like, I've seen, you know, a billion possibilities. There's one way out. I think what I laid out is the one way out to make both teams.
Yes.
You know, help both teams. Right. And what's most likely are the other, you know, 999 million, et cetera, where both teams are flat after this and they don't merge the belts into one. And, you know, Bullet Club goal, don't just throw all six title belts away because they don't need them, right? That's the best thing to do. Let's just get rid of those titles, retire them, give them to Tony Schiavone as a gift to put up in his room to give to Conrad. End of story.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think but you're right though. Like if you do this well enough, you can even have they can have like two more matches with each other that have some heat on them, you know, and not aren't these just like goofy little like you know, trios match deals like but an actual feud between two factions that hate each other. And they're just not anywhere near that right now.
Yeah.
All right. Hook versus Chris Jericho, a singles match. For the FTW championship, if that matters to you. Man, I'm glad they pivoted on this. I like when this partnership started, I was like, oh man, we really gonna have to sit through like Hook and Jericho as like a team. You know, it seemed like that was the plan to kind of slow burn this program. And then I props to Tony Khan because I think he listened to the audience and there was just no chemistry between those two guys as partners. Crowd wasn't into it, and now we're seeing like a Chris Jericho leaning into all of like the social media criticism of him as an act, like that he just globs on to new guys, he is past his prime, like he, you know, he thinks he's this like the greatest of all time, like he just gets to lean fully into that, and now it's, you know, he's more of a heel. And so like this is another one of those matches that I kind of, as I alluded to start the show, that I think they did just enough to like make it a pay-per-view match that has some intrigue, you know, on Sunday night. I, you know, the FTW championship thing is useless. So you almost have to just throw that element out. But I think Hook looked fine yesterday. I mean, that guy, like he's got such a like good look to him and like a presence to him. I hope he starts taking like steps, like larger steps in terms of like being a good enough mic worker to like go along with that presence that he has. Cause right now I think the mic work is just lagging behind just his general charisma. But as I said, I think that they landed in a decent spot. I'm assuming that you're going to get Jericho going over here to further this, you know, to kind of further this feud. I don't think this is going to be the last time that they wrestle. And my guess is they use this as a way to like firmly get heel heat on Jericho and set up something for Hook to overcome. So I will take Jericho here. And like, I'm cautiously optimistic that this may be like a hidden gem of a match on the show.
Yeah. I'm going the same way. I thought we'd be separate on this for sure. I think this is more like adventurous booking by Tony Khan because the straightforward ways for Hook to beat Jericho, and that's kind of been the Jericho story for the last year or so, where he hasn't really won anything, which has hurt his character at this point, right? On top of his out of the ring stuff as well. But yeah, I think him, again, like with what we talked the last match, I think Jericho winning this FTW title, getting it off TV, like comboing that with the six-man titles, like would be a great step in the right direction on getting these belts in line. And so I'm hopeful for that. It gets Jericho way more over as a heel, as you laid out. And is you know, I think easy to convince Jericho to get a win on pay-per-view. So what are you going to do if you're Hook, right? And also the Hook, like, is going to test free agency story. Like, if I'm Tony Khan, like, I'm probably checking him a bit on on where he is and not giving him, you know, this win, too, as, like, a personal thing. Because, like, you know, let's say he left. Like, was he? Some guy on NXT that can work but not talk. Like, enough of those guys. There's so
plenty of that.
NXT. Yeah. So, you know, I don't think he's like, I don't know. I mean, that's just a report. I'm not saying he's the one that came out and said it. But yeah, Jericho turning massive heel here. Hopefully, not having two young guys we aren't thinking about come in. You know, hopefully, Top Flight don't come in and join his team or whatever. Hopefully, just like a heel by himself who is just like a brutal heel, you know, not the Painmaker, but some different character, right? He trademarked 26 things this month. So I'm sure one of those 26 things is going to be the trademark there. So yeah, I'm going to have Jericho as well.
You can't say Jericho doesn't know how to run a business. He certainly does. Anything that might possibly maybe get over, he's trademarking to have his own. It's not a bad idea. Real quick, some rapid fire super chats on some just general topics. Zach jumping in here. It's for Barry and Lee here, guys. Congrats to Ruby Soho and Angelo Parker. Yeah, pretty cool news, of course, that Ruby Soho is pregnant with their baby. I haven't been a fan of their on-air story, so if this ends that, that's a double kind of congrats. So, no, I'm half kidding. Good on that, for sure.
Yeah, there you go. AEW created a life, so that's good.
Right? That's it, yeah.
Without AEW, who knows if they would have gotten together, so that's good.
Good on you, AEW. Good on you. Also, we have another super chat from Zach here that says, Tyler, are you taking your wife? You can interview her like Zach did with his wife at WrestleMania.
Interesting. I mean, I don't want to overdo the gimmick, right? We don't want to be Tony Khan or Triple H or Vince. You know, they've all reused gimmicks quickly in succession. So
in pro wrestling. No.
I think she would do it. I just didn't want to totally gimmick it. Maybe SummerSlam time. We'll do that. Get a check-in on if she still likes Pat McAfee or not.
And oh, so, yeah.
I'll just roast her for 30 minutes.
Know about that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Zach. All right, let's keep it rolling here. We've got the TBS Championship, Julia Hart versus Willow Nightingale. This is a tough one to predict because Julia Hart is injured, reportedly injured per Wade Keller and other sources. Nobody really seems to know how bad it is. She was on TV last night, but did not participate in the mixed tag. They kind of built around and away from that with a backstage attack on Willow. So it ended up being just like a singles match between Adam Copeland and Brody King. this feud to me has been just so messy. Like, Mercedes Moné is hovering. That doesn't help things. Julia Hart, I think, is a good mid-level champion. Mm-hmm. And I think Willow Nightingale is a good mid-level title challenger. But them trying to, like, play into the, like, level of Mercedes Moné, or, and I think more reality, Mercedes playing down to them, has not, like, done this feud well at all. Like, it feels more so to me that Mercedes is feuding with each of them, and they're not having, they don't have this like big grand feud against one another. I just don't have a lot of examples of stuff to like talk about here. It stinks because I think, again, Julia has been a good mid-card champion, which is what the TBS title should be. But knowing that they're going to do Mercedes against the winner of this match at Double or Nothing, that leads me to believe that they're going to put the belt on Willow here, and they're going to, like, that's going to be the first match for Mercedes. You know, her against Willow, her against the person that injured her. Willow reveals herself to be the person that attacked Mercedes in the dark. I think that it lends itself, that is a better match at this point than Julia and Mercedes. Plus, Julia Hart's hurt, and so, you know, it could be that she's just going to drop the belt for that reason. So I'll take Willow here, but not excited about the match or really the prospects of what happens with her afterwards, especially if she turns heel.
Yeah, I heard Wade talking about it. Did you get more info? Is there like a type of injury, or just like she's hurt? It's kind of
strange. I did not get a type of injury. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. No. So I agree with you mainly here. You're going with Willow, you said?
I'm going to go with Willow, yeah.
I'm going to go with the rare DQ finish where Willow wins by DQ but does not win the title. I think it just depends on the injury, right? I think you need to flush the story out. You have, you know, five more episodes of Dynamite to get to Double or Nothing. So I think Julia, if that could be a triple threat, I think that story works better, and you can get like a bigger feel of that match, and maybe Brody King was the one that attacked Mercedes or something, and that can lead to some, whatever. Like, maybe there's something there with Julia Hart and Mercedes that makes more sense than, because turning Willow makes no sense, right? She's only babyface in the entire company, the entire women's division that is like over 100% as a baby face. So I don't think they're going to do that. Also, you know, it just depends on the injury, right? If Julia Hart can participate in the story, I think have her win by cheating here. and go from there and then tell that story. Whether Willow could win it 2 weeks from now, I think is fine. But this story just needs extended a bit more and the intrigue needs extended. Hopefully, though, the long run here, as the theme of the show could be, with Jericho winning, with unifying the six-man titles, maybe Mercedes will win, take on Toni Storm, and unify those titles too. And we can kind of get back to less belts. You can always reintroduce belts when you want to, but who knows? If you're not guaranteed to be on TBS and TNT, maybe you need to get rid of those belts in a cohesive way ahead of time too. So hopefully that's on the horizon, not getting a TV deal, but hopefully a lessening of these belts. And so I'm going to be hopeful for that in every decision I make here. So DQ, but Julia or Willow wins by DQ, but doesn't get the title.
Is my official. All right, there we go. Zach checking in says, I think Chris Statlander turns on Willow and Julia retains. It's another way to get to where you are, Tyler. I think that
It's some way of like, why would you have Julia work at all yesterday if you're not going to continue her in the story is my only from a booking standpoint. And hopefully the medical team knows what kind of injury she has. They might not. I mean, let's be honest. So
don't.
The guy, she can work. Doc Samson.
She's probably fine. She's
probably fine. You know, face mask or nose and mouth mask on MJF's forehead. You know, every time I hear a story about AEW medical, I keep thinking that was not a joke. Every time more stuff comes out.
Tony Khan doesn't help himself. Clearly, if that answer told you anything, it was that he's not close to that part of the company. That's for sure.
He has no interest in that. Booking women and medical.
And medical.
Stuff. He's not interested at all.
Can you jump off a ladder during my next show? Yes? Okay, good.
Yes, great.
All right. Where are we here? Okay. Let's go to Adam Copeland and Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe versus the House of Black. Surely this is a collision match, except I don't think so. I think this is on the actual pay-per-view. This is what it is to me. This is a match that you for sure don't need on this show. It's pretty crazy that Copeland is in this, given the stature and like what you're paying him, and just seems like on paper a misuse. But if you're watching the show, actually, it's kind of right where he slots. I think that's more telling than anything. This is what it is. It's going to be a wild trios match and. That's about it. So I'll take the baby faces to win here.
Yeah. Again, real life reason. Two-thirds of House of Black don't want to be there, so they're going to lose anytime they're on a big spot. So Copeland pins Brody King probably because he's the only one that'll do a job in that group either. So great. I think that analysis is there. It's a thank you for Copeland to go out there and be the whipping boy on TV. And a thank you to Eddie for giving him a spot for losing two of his three titles. So,
I mean, Buddy Matthews doesn't want to do jobs. There's just that's the ultimate. That is the ultimate WTF. because I just
assume that since when's the last time he, took a pin?
Never. Well, and same with Malakai Black. Same with
Miro. Malakai Black, obviously. Like, when was the last time Malakai did anything in the ring while he was AEW, right? I mean, that dude. So, it might be her whatever, but, he's never on the show. But, man, there's not – he might be my number one pick of, guys I am, the amount on of, that's an active pro wrestler is that dude.
Yes. Oh my God, Azan!
I'd have Wardlow beat him in a match if I had to book those two.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's saying something coming from the mouth of Tyler saying.
Yeah,
Azan jumping in. Buddy Matthews is the jobber of House of Black. Yeah, but he doesn't do jobs.
Yeah, I mean, what's the last time the three of them actually wrestled a match? I cannot think of it. Maybe Collision.
It's been a while. Yeah. Zach reminding us here, Doc Samson did save Jerry Lawler's life on live TV, so he's competent. I mean, that is definitely a notch on the plus side of Doc Samson. I mean, grateful, of course, for that, and that certainly was an incredible moment. But I mean, it's documented. He's been on the side of other issues too. So, you know, good to call out though, Zach. Good to call out.
Yeah, I'll comment on this on the Patreon show. How about that? Remind me.
There we go. Coming up later today, folks. Patreon.com/Brasserie Media. If you want to become a member and hear those shows on a weekly basis. Okay, let's go to Kazuchika Okada versus Pac. It is for the it's for the whatever the hell that thing is, yeah, right?
The Continental
Crown title. Belt.
Crown, yeah.
Christ. Maybe
he'll throw that in the trash too. I don't know. But
hey, you know, that'd be good. I mean, I'm excited for this match from a match perspective. Like, if you're just looking at it like, hey, I'm gonna kick back, crack open a beer, and watch a couple like badasses wrestle each other. Like, this is gonna be a good match. There's no question about it. The build is all messed up. I mean, Okada's with the heels. He's getting just cheered as one of the most over baby faces on the show.
Like, yeah.
So, at some point you have to address that. Like, you either have to like tell him, okay, dude, you're going to have to like cheat or like, low blows, like who knows, but like, you can't keep doing this. It just kills, Pac as a babyface, and I think this match is going to run into exactly that. You're going to have an AW pay-per-view audience that's pumped to see Okada, and that's going to be the story here. I think Okada wins for sure. Again, I think the match is going to be awesome, but I think that they've got this thing backwards with Okada. Good try, worth trying, not working.
Yeah, and I think it's an easy flip at this point still to be like, yeah, you know, he could say, you know, you don't want to make the Shohei Ohtani comparison, right? But you could even do that with the Young Bucks, of like, they're stealing his money.
Right.
As the EVPs are not paying him. Like, oh, yeah, we'll cut those. Just even like an off comment next week and be like, oh, yeah, 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 that check is good. Like, it's in the mail. You know, what's your new address? Oh, we put it to your old address. Hold on. You know, being like scummy promoters, I think the Young Bucks, A, would love that story because they've dealt with those guys. And like, it would give Okada a reason to turn. That's just one example of what you could do, right? But yes, I mean, this is going to be, I would say, everyone in that crowd on Sunday, would you say like for 95% of them, it's the first time seeing Okada wrestle live in person?
Oh, yeah.
Still hasn't worked a lot of dates that are not in Chicago or LA in the United States, right? So he's going to be over for a while because it's the first time everyone's seen him in person. Here in the States. So yeah, I mean, it's something they need to pivot quickly from.
Yeah.
And this feels also like the All In, the original 2018 one of like Marty Scurll and Okada. Like, of all the options you had, really Marty Scurll? And it's like, you know, I like Pac too, and I like Marty back then as a wrestler, but like, I don't know. And that was like one off, like, okay, really, this is all we're gonna get of him in America, and like a big show is this. So it's not the same, but it's that same sort of comparison. So
yeah. Yeah, I think it is kind of bizarre, but I mean, Pac is he's a good worker. Like it. I think the match and like even that Marty Scurll match ended up being like one of the better matches on that show with Okada. Like, the guy can work with anybody. It's not that. It's the match is not the issue. It's just the everything else around it and the fact that it's for the Continental Crown title. Like, goodness gracious. But we're both taking Okada, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have you written down. So
yeah. You probably could have.
I had it as you announced the match. I wrote it down for both of us.
Wrote Okada for both.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. All right. Let's go to the ladder match here. We've got the Young Bucks versus FTR ladder match for the AEW World Tag Team titles. It's the tournament final. In case you forgot, the titles are vacant, which is why it makes sense to hang them above a ring. I didn't like last week at all. I thought it was I don't mind the story, you know, again, of like, this just like, we just came up short. Can't believe we came up short. We were distracted because of all of our EVP duties and we were distracted and we lost. And now we want our revenge. Like, that's fine. I think that's an easy enough story to tell. I think that works, especially with the EVP gimmick. You didn't need the video footage to tell that story. They didn't even bring it up this week. So if you were arguing that it wasn't a stunt, I think that indicates that it was. And And that's kind of all the feud has been. It's like, it's rooted in history. It's rooted in their rivalry. It's not a bad thing. You know, it's a tournament final. So you don't necessarily have to jump through all the same hoops that you would if it was like a, just a regular kind of match between these two teams. And I don't mind the ladder match stipulation either. I think this is a good time to like break that out. I don't advocate for throwing these stipulations around just at anything. And I think AEW does too much of that generally. But in this instance, I think it makes sense for these teams to kind of take their rivalry to another level, have a gimmick to their match. They haven't had those before with the matches that they have. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. I don't think so.
I don't think they have. Lucha Bros, they had a ladder match a while
Lucha ago. Bros, they did, yeah. So this is fresh as far as that goes. And then plus, you know, the tournament final of the, you know, the vacant titles like hanging above the ring. Like, I think there's a good visual to that. And it makes sense. It makes sense to do this year. So, you know, I probably give this a B as far as like build goes, just because it's simple because the tournament format. But man, this isn't about the build. This is about the match. And I think this match could easily be insane. And you know, match of the year candidate when it's all said and done. I'll take the Young Bucks though. I'll take the heels that go over. I think we're gonna see Jack Perry. I think Jack Perry is going to be involved in the finish here and join the new elite. And you know, on they go.
Yep, I think Zach has it right in the super chat as well, as you just said. And yep. Yeah, I mean, especially this stip is really, I think, a really potent marketing for like maybe someone that's on the fence, and you give them, you know, 4 days before, 5 days before, like, ah, I do love ladder matches, and this is going to be right. A good ladder match with like crazy stuff happening, you know, besides like Darby and somebody in a team that's a part of a ladder match, like, you know, FTR and Young Bucks are going to bring it. Storyline wise, the Bucks are obviously way more comfortable, high flying ladder match style than FTR are. Mm-hmm. So, I had to have that pause in there, so I didn't just say R twice, but
FTR, R.
But right on my coffee cup if I'm Cody. if you remember that skit from anyway, amazing. Yeah, so that makes sense storyline wise. I think the Bucks are going to win. It makes sense for the characters. Also, a good way to get Okada out of the group is to replace him with Jack Perry. Maybe you can have Okada and Jack Perry wrestle. And that seems like a smart place to go to get Okada win against the newbie of the elite, etc. So yeah, I think it all works. You know, if Kenny can ever come back too, like him and Okada being on a team for a period of time is fun. I think that you could get that of like Hangman and you know, Hangman, Okada, Kenny versus the Bucks and Jack Perry is pretty fun. So all works.
I think you're right. Yeah, I mean, this is a. This is one of those matches that just soups up the pay-per-view so much. I mean, you already have Ospreay and Danielson. You already have Swerve and Samoa Joe. And now you have, like, this crazy tag team ladder match, Young Bucks and FTR. Like, this is one of those, like, sugar on top type deals. Like, I think it's a great, great call. It's going to be a great match. It could have done out. Could have done without all the madness. But, hey, you know, Tony says he had to do it. And TBS loved it. So, there you go. All right. Zombie, we answered this question about is Julia Hart hurt? Thank you for asking it in the super chats. She is hurt. Nobody really knows, at least right now, how bad. I think we'll find out Sunday. It's bad enough to keep her out of the match last night, though. So thank you, Azan. And thank you, Zach, for your super chat as well. Real quick from Sean here. Thank you, Sean, for contributing and for joining the show. Sean says, one thought, and this goes back to our Okada and Pac talk. Okada and Pac will be good. But for me, who hasn't seen much of Okada, he doesn't blow me away. And the Rainmaker isn't a great finisher. Exclamation point. BRM. Best Ring Media. So what do you think, Tyler? Like, does the Rainmaker finish to do it for you if you don't already know the history of that move, you know, with Okada and how many titles he's won with it and opponents he's put away and moments it's had in big matches?
Yeah, I mean, of his era of New Japan world champions, he's got the worst finisher, I think, by far, from a like how cool it looks standpoint. You know, Destino, One Winged Angel, Os Cutter, even the
Stormbreaker.
Stormbreaker, the elbow off the top for oh my gosh, for Tanahashi, right? That's his finisher.
He's got the high fly flow.
Well, yeah, and the high fly flow too. That's like the setup. But so you know that's there. But you know, I think it's on par with like the Crossroads. I think that's a pretty lame finisher. And they both need to happen like three times to win a big match, right? Three Rainmakers, three Oscutters. It works well when the commentary gets behind it and talks about wrist control, because when Okada's got his hand on your wrist and is controlling your whole body and hits three in a row without letting go of your wrist in a big time match, it's gone for 40 minutes. Then it really clicks as like a sports feel of, hey, you're worn out. Your, you know, energy gauge in a fighting game is down to zero and he's got your wrist and he's just manhandling you and he's going to pin you. Right. So that just needs to pair that with everything else. Okada works better in, you know, 30-minute matches, not 10-minute, 12-minute matches, right? I think he needs to figure out that American style of TV, because as champion in New Japan, he's either wrestling with like a trio group for and getting spots in, or he's wrestling like a 20-plus-minute match. So getting mastering that 10, 12 minutes on TV is going to be important. We're going to see on Sunday. I think you're, I'd be shocked if you're not going to absolutely love this match, Sean.
Yeah, I was gonna analyze that the same way. I mean, like, he hasn't gotten the move over here in the AEW ether. Like, he does it, and I think people who know it pop for it. But you really have to see that move in action in like big time matches to really kind of appreciate what it is. Otherwise, you're kind of looking at it just going, "Oh, it's a clothesline, man." Like,
yeah. Yeah, you know, is this a Royal Rumble? Like, come on, what is this move? Yeah.
Like, Angelo Parker does a clothesline. Like, you know, I can get why you'd be like, I just don't get it. But here's the thing. It's Tony Khan's job to, like, help Okada get that thing over. And Okada's got to get it over. Like, he doesn't have, like, it's a different company. It's a different environment. And the same things that worked in New Japan aren't going to work here. You know, he's not going to have 35 minutes every week to tell a big story about trying to hit the Rainmaker and then finally getting it. Like, there has to be something there that jazzes that thing up so that it makes sense in AEW and in a 10 minute match or in a 5 minute match. That's part of, like, you know, figuring out how to work in a different company. And I think it's just too soon, Sean. I think, you know, in 3 months time, 4 months time after he's had some big matches, I think we should come back to this, because I love the move. I think it's just a cool move for him, and it has a lot of history behind it. And when used right in a match, it really works effectively to, like, tell stories and psychologically. But they haven't done the groundwork yet, for sure.
And he can wrestle everybody, right? Kenny can't wrestle Powerhouse Hobbs if he's champion, right? It's impossible, because he can't hit that. He can't hit the One Winged Angel on him.
I would assume. Yep. It's like, yeah, he can do it to anybody. That is a really good point. That's key. So yeah. So Sean, yeah, thanks for the super chat. Tony Storm versus Thunder Rosa. Man, you take this one first.
Yeah, I mean, I think
the story here. We want to talk about this one.
Yeah, I mean, Mariah May has looked better than these two in the story, right?
Yes, like, she really has, man.
Yeah, like, Thunder Rosa looks like a dumb baby face. Classic WWE of last decade style. Mm-hmm. And Tony, you know, I think the camera, it's Maria and then the camera work department of AEW are the two most over people from this feud, because they've been able to do the 50-50 color grade thing, which I thought was like the coolest thing they've done in production AEW, like have half the screen be, you know, Tony's, the half be what we see normally. Mm-hmm. So that's there. But the, you know, Mariah May taking on Tony Storm seems to be the story here. So if Mariah sacrifices herself on a Thunder Rosa move, and then Tony cleans it up, and then Mariah's pissed about that later, I think that's the story here. So for that reason, I'm going with Tony Storm.
Yeah, I'm definitely going with Tony Storm too. Yeah, I mean, I just don't like what they've done, generally speaking. I mean, like, Mariah May has definitely been, like, I think she's been an elevated talent through this. I think she's had better matches too along the way. And like we talked about, she's on all the shows. She's wrestling on Dynamite. She wrestles on Collision. She's had, like, you know, she's active. She's consistently on these shows, which is important. But mainly, man, I just don't think it works with Toni Storm right now. Like, I feel bad for Thunder Rosa almost, because it's like, she's supposed to be this baby face. And yesterday, I commented on this in the my receipt column on the Substack this morning. She looked like a total jerk to me, like smearing all that lipstick and stuff on Toni Storm. And it's just like, oh man, like that was kind of mean. Like I like Toni Storm. And I think everybody, mm-hmm. I think the audience kind of felt that way too. I don't think there's a clear avenue of who to cheer for here. Thunder Rosa, there's no momentum for the title. Like Mercedes Moné looms in the background, or at least she should. So this seems like a big holding pattern feud to me. And the best thing out of it so far is Mariah May. So I think that tells you all you need to know about it. But yeah, I'm not too high on this one. I don't know if the match will be very good. Will be very good either. I mean, it's probably going to be okay if it has time.
It probably won't. It'll probably be like 10 minutes. So
yeah, right. So it's like,
yeah, okay. You have three really long matches to get to at least, right? Probably four.
So yeah. Zach says, Rosa wins and feuds with Deonna. Toni and Mariah continue. They're all about Eve's story. Yeah, maybe. I mean, but like, where's Mercedes in that equation? You know, like, I mean, you think that you want to put her in that mix at some point. So yeah. I think they just are going to go Toni Storm and Mercedes.
Yeah. But also don't hate that booking either. I think that's probably healthier long term.
Yeah. 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 Good point. Good to call out. Yeah. Yeah.
I think Zach and I are probably the only two that would get the All About Eve reference.
I don't get. Is that a show?
No, the other Zach. Yeah. It's a movie. So, you know, she's like the 50 starlet, right? It's the Toni Storm character. It's All About Eve. It's like the younger star overtaking the older star. And like the feud that ensues, basically. So it's very good.
Yeah, I think.
But it doesn't really hit works. With modern audiences, right? Like that's why I said Zach and I are probably the only two that. So I appreciate that, Zach. Is what I'm trying to say.
But it works, except that it doesn't work. I can think that this booking works well. I just don't think they should keep Mercedes away from this title picture. So. You know, they got to get to that.
Unless you can get out of that contract somehow, then I'd probably do that if I was Toni.
I know, man, that's a whole other conversation. We can take that over to the Patreon too, because that's something to talk about for sure.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. And we'll finish off our preview here with Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay dream match. We have a bunch of super chats on this that I want to definitely get to here. We'll start with Zach, who says, I've enjoyed the build to Ospreay Danielson. It's about who's the best. So it's very simple, but it's got a big fight feel. This is like peak 80s Prince and Stevie Ray Vaughan having a guitar duel. I love that. Yeah, good comparison. Yeah, so, I mean, that is the story here, you know? What do you think? What do you think about Zach's comments and where are you at on this?
Yeah, I mean, this is like an actual dream match, right? For wrestling fans, for AEW, that is put in the spot that a dream match should be. Yeah, I mean, for people that are in the know, you know, it's there, right? Like, do you think Triple H, do you think Paul Levesque is watching this on Sunday? Do you think he's buying this through a proxy so Tony Khan doesn't see his name hit a thing and is like watching this because he wants to see this match?
Probably.
Yeah. So I think that's like a dream match, right? When
he
will probably watch it live as opposed to like someone give me a recording of it and I'll watch what they're
showing. He'll probably be really mad when he's watching it, but
Yeah. You know, he'll like, I would book it this way, you know, but like, that's like a dream match, right? Where you can't deny what's happening in front of you, right? So that's there. It just hasn't been, you know, like Triple H runs a wrestling company. Me and you talk wrestling on, you know, here and on Patreon multiple times a week. People here, which we're very thankful of, love wrestling. People talking about wrestling and can't get enough wrestling content, right? For the casual fan that don't have a ton of interest in this, like, you know, the extra 600,000 people that don't buy the pay-per-views, if the math tracks correctly, like, they don't care in the way that we do. So it's not been built for them to care. So that's the only thing about it. But the people that care really care, and there's been really no build, but that we don't need it. And that's how Tony's booked this thing. So I'm very excited. I think it's going to be great. Could be match of the year. It just hasn't been booked well. So both things can be true.
Both things can definitely be true. And I think they are true. I'm right there with you. I love this match. I mean, I love this match and I can't wait to watch it. I think it's going to be a heck of a match. This is the type of thing that you have to get more out of if you're Tony Khan. Like, you can only do Danielson versus Will Ospreay and AEW for the first time once. And the story here has been like them, like, kind of one up with each other. I can beat this crappy guy. No, I can beat this crappy guy faster than you can beat this crappy guy. Like, it just hasn't been, well thought out, like, past, oh, this is going to be a great match. Let's put it on pay-per-view. I think you could have gotten a lot out of this if you get them in the ring talking to each other. I'm surprised that we didn't have that this week. Like a face-to-face segment with them in the ring, talking about, you know, the importance of, you know, them being the best, like what it means to beat the other one, what it means to win like a dream match like this. All of that was on the table, and I don't think that they got there. So I think fundamentally, you know, the story is pretty easy. Two of the best in the world, they're going to collide head on, but you want to get something out of this. Like if your company was like solely focused on pay-per-view revenue, like, you'd want to beat people over the head with the fact that, hey, like, this is happening, big match, dream match, all this stuff. And they really just didn't touch any of that. It was like, I'll beat the Butcher, you know, and I can beat the Butcher faster than you can beat the Butcher. It's just like, so I don't think that got anywhere. Now, as soon as the bell rings, that won't matter. But better booking would have got you, you know, theoretically, thousands of more buys on this. And it's not going to get you that. And that's the unfortunate part. And where I think you really want to, you got to be making money on these feuds and these dream matches. And he's going to make good money, but potential's there to make even like great money with this kind of thing. So I'm trying to find another super chat on this, because I know it's out there and I just keep missing it. I probably scrolled through four times as I was making that point, no, but we'll go to Zach as I continue to find it. Zach says here, Ospreay versus Claudio was a match, not a spectacle. It was just two guys tearing it up without the extra stuff until after. So we debated this yesterday on the Spotlight show. We watched the Cody Roman match from WrestleMania 40 live on the show and just talk about it, analyzed it. And the conversation, Tyler, came up, and it was the idea of, you know, was that a match? Was that a good match or a good spectacle? And my argument was that those two things are the same, like, or one and the same. They can be the same. You need one to have the other. And so, like, I thought the Ospreay match versus Claudio was like a good match. Definitely not a spectacle, but it wasn't like a great, great match. Like, it was just a good, solid TV match. They tore it up on TV, and that's what it was. But I don't think it was anything more than that. And so, no, that doesn't get into a spectacle for me. So, Sunday, Ospreay versus Danielson, that will.
Yeah, I agree. You know, nothing that's 10 minutes, I think, can be a spectacle.
Right.
So, yeah, I would agree. I also have that chat if you want the other one. I don't know if you're...
Yes, fire it up.
No, I agree with you. I assume it's this Matt one, because I don't think you called it up
yet. Yes. Thank you, Tyler, and thank you, Matt, and thank you, Zach, for chiming in there. Ospreay versus Danielson is just a retelling of MVP versus Matt Hardy. That's cold, Matt. That is some ice cold analysis right there, my friend. Ouch. I think it's been like framed a little bit better than that. Like, in terms of like jumping through hoops, just the talent involved make this bigger than that, but it's hard to argue with like the one-upsmanship that went on there. That went on here too. So, boy, I really don't want to classify it as that, but I don't know that I can argue my way out of it.
Yeah, that's a blind spot feud for me. I was not watching whenever this happened, so I can't really add much more to it. But I've been known to, you know, have the Matt Hardy slander in the past, and I hope him well, wish him well. I hope he becomes a producer at WWE. I think that'd be a great spot for him. But yeah, who's who in that equation, I guess, is my take.
Well, Matt Hardy. Well, no, it's basically
because MVP is Ospreay, right? Because he was like the up and comer, and Matt Hardy was like the established guy at that point.
It's even worse than that. Like, it wasn't even like it was like a best of seven, like, I can do this better than you. They had like a drinking competition, and they had like a couple matches. Yeah. Like, like, I kind of want to like do a Patreon show where you watch this feud, watch that feud back, and then talk about it.
Yeah, hopefully there's like a YouTube video that's like an hour and a half so that I can get the concise narrative of that. As opposed to trying to find everything on Peacock, that'd be a disaster trying to find everything.
It was rough. It was rough. And Matt, yeah, I mean, it's a nice cold, just giving Ospreay Danielson the business on that one. I mean, there's elements there, but I think Ospreay and Danielson is going to deliver significantly more. Zach correcting me and saying Shibata is not the Butcher. Come on, Zach. Yes, it was Shibata that they both beat. He's kind of the Butcher.
I mean,
in AEW,
I mean, he's the Butcher with respect, right? It's Shibata.
Right. So I guess
the Butcher could totally win an ROH singles title if they, you know, spent 3 weeks working on him. I think that would not be a shock to me.
He could. And I was snarky, yes. But my point still stands that it's just a mid-card jobber guy. I mean, and that's what Shibata is in AEW. So,
He's the old legend who's working with the young guys and maybe wins multi-man matches, but when you get to a single situation, it's going to lose to get the next generation over, right?
Like
that's what Shibata is. That's what he would be in New Japan at this point if he could, you know, if he wanted to be there.
Probably. Yeah, exactly. All right, Tyler, take this one. Zach says here, why hasn't it been booked well? It doesn't need a bunch of contrived nonsense. So, yeah, go ahead and, answer that back.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, bleed into my pick here, so I'm gonna like kind of leave some of that of this that would answer some of this question for then as well, but I would just like deflect that with, you know, did Cody and Rock and Roman and Seth need to interact with each other to make that feud, you know, to make that match, you know, would have gotten a similar number of eyeballs maybe, but like all those guys interacting with each other week in and week out made ratings soar on your weekly television product, made all four of them feel like big stars, and helped elevate the match, right? That's why it's good to see guys wrestling each other face each other, because again, have they only been in each other's presence when Ospreay was leaving a match and Danielson was coming for a match? Is that the only time they've interacted with each other physically in the same space?
They closed the Dynamite once, the first time that they went face to face.
Okay, like, yes,
I think it was right after Revolution, actually.
Yeah, you said that last time that I brought
that was the last, but that's it, though. And that was for like seconds, that was like for like 10 seconds.
Yeah. So like the fact it's not booked well, it's just not booked, right? It's not even not booked well. It's literally the guys are not in the same room together, which is like, you know, can you imagine night one of WrestleMania with video packages back and forth with each other? No, it'd just be like, you know, the New Japan style for Wrestle Kingdom is like, hey, here's a video because the guys in the US in the States and we're in Japan. Like that makes sense. And that's not ideal, but that's what this feels like. Like Danielson is not present for 6 weeks and they're going to come in for a match. And, you know, coming in this weekend, work Collision and then work, you know, the show, which is probably true. But, like, I don't know. Let's not make it so obvious. So,
I think that's just – you kind of took the words out of my mouth. You did take the words out of my mouth. It's not just – yeah, it hasn't been booked. It's been, like, the match has been made. Mm-hmm. There you go. Like, that's what's happened here. Match has been made, and they're going to put it on pay-per-view, and it's going to be a great match. And it's just, like, that's not booking. You know, that's it. That is just, I could do that. I could tell you like what all the good matches are and put them on pay-per-view. You could tell us that, anybody in the audience right now, you know, like, so it's Butcher not that, but it's
to open the show. See who's the real jobber supreme.
The supreme jobber. Oh my God. I've wanted to see Butcher versus Shibata now more than I've never wanted to see Butcher work as much as I do.
Yeah, right, I guess now. The loser's the winner, right? Because they're the ultimate jobber if they lose.
Loser's the winner. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But my point is like, you want to get something out of this. I mean, conceivably, if Will Ospreay means what you say he means to the company, and he's the best in the world, and they're going to have this best in the world match, well, wrestling fans should care about that. And the fact is, this rivalry hasn't drawn anybody for the company, to anybody new for the company to come in. Like it hasn't. It's been around and it's been there and it's going to happen. And you're like solid 110,000 plus are going to buy this pay-per-view for sure. But you know, when you have this dream match like this, you want to get more out of it. And you, it has to be more. It has to be booked. And I think you hit the nail on the head. It just hasn't been. It's been made, and that's it. And I'm going to, on Sunday night, and kick back and watch this and have a blast. But it's you didn't get anywhere near what you wanted to out of that match by a long shot. Thank you, Zach. I appreciate the contribution as always. We'll wrap up there, guys. We're going to go record the member only show right now.
Go ahead.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm taking Will Ospreay.
I'm taking Brian Danielson.
Okay. All right. This will be good. Yeah. I mean, like, so you take Danielson. Why?
Because I don't think this is the end of this, right? If you want to actually book this, this feels to me like it's been booked as a first step. And if you don't, let's say you don't want the alternative of the Ospreay winning the title at All In. I think if he gets a win back against Danielson, and maybe that's Danielson's last match ever, and that's like the main event of Danielson's last match. I don't know if that ties in perfectly. I think it does with the contract, at least pretty close. Or if he's working out the rest of the year physically, like calendar year. But like, if that's his last stadium show, if he doesn't go back to WWE, then like having that be against Will Ospreay, he's going to want to go out on his back. So here might be a time to get a win for him. And a surprise win, obviously, for how Ospreay's being booked. It also kind of settles him down a little bit as a character. Like, he needs to lose at some point here, and losing to Danielson is nothing to sneeze at. It can give him something that's not the world title, right? Because if he beats Danielson, like, why is he not going for the world title immediately? It's going to be a hard thing to square. So that for those reasons, I think Danielson.
You make a good case. You make a good case. I'm gonna stick with the conventional. Like, this guy's on the rise, and so you make him more on the rise.
Brian Danielson will want Ospreay to win this match, right? Yeah. So it's more of a Tony Khan has to tell him, like, no, you're winning this match. So
Anti
Hulk Hogan, Brian Danielson.
Doesn't work for me, brother. I'm taking the loss.
Yeah.
Oh God. Oh man. All right. Well, there you go, guys. AW Dynasty. We will we'll be covering it live from the building with Tyler being on site, and I, of course, will be watching it in our Discord and on social media. And so we'll have all sorts of coverage all weekend long. Follow me there, follow Tyler there, and you can follow the brand at Brass Ring_Media for everything that comes in on all things AW Dynasty. Thanks so much for joining the show. Appreciate it. Thanks to all of our super chatters. Thanks to everybody who joined us live and to who downloaded this after the fact as a podcast or watched it on YouTube afterwards. We certainly appreciate it. We're live Monday through Thursday. Tonight, Robert Vallejos will be in the host chair for Nocturnal Knockout at 10 Eastern, talking about possible opponents for Cody Rhodes and the importance of having really good opponents lined up for crowned champions at WrestleMania. So it's a good time to talk about that with everything that's going to go on Friday on SmackDown and getting his first challenger there. So should be a fun show tonight. So don't miss it. 10 Eastern with Robert. It's going to be a really good show. Thank you to everybody. If you are interested in becoming a Brass Ring Media member, you can head over to Patreon, patreon.com/BrassRingMedia. You'll get free weekly podcasts as a member and pay-per-view review shows, including one for this weekend. And Dynasty. So now's a great time to do it. So give us a shot. I think you'll be happy that you did. Patreon.com/BrassRingMedia. It's only $4. That's it. Cool. Tyler, appreciate you, man. I'll see you on the other side for members only show. Thanks to everybody once again. We'll catch y'all next time. See ya.